Morning, everybody. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. Right, I'm not going to sing the rest of it. And I love that old cross where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I'll cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. In the old rugged cross, stained with blood so divine, a wondrous beauty I see. For the dear Lamb of God left his glory above to pardon and sanctify me. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. And I'll cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. To the old rugged cross I will ever be true. Its shame and reproach gladly bear. Then he'll call me someday to my home far away, where his glory forever I'll share. I, preparation for today, thought about that hymn. And I Googled it, as you do. And you click on the first sort of listing, and it starts, la da 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 da. Yeah? And it evoked something in me. Something happened, something triggered in me. A kind of sentimental emotion. Now, I don't want to spoil this. I don't do a spoiler for this particular hymn, but there was this emotion in me that was evoked, and I don't know why. Maybe it was because I remember singing it when I was a kid. Maybe it's the softness and the gentleness of the words that I used. Maybe it's the tune. I know it's been turned into a bit of a country classic at some point over the last few years. I have to say, country music is not a genre of music I particularly enjoy. But there is a niceness about it, isn't there? There's it brought a sentimental smile to my face and a warm, fuzzy feeling inside. And then I started thinking about it. And again, it might just be me, but I just started thinking about how this just seemed to be a little incongruous. What emotion was created in me didn't fit with what I know of the cross. Does that make sense? The sentimental feeling that I was feeling just didn't seem to fit with that lovely old rugged cross, which was a hideous tool of murder and torture, where the one that I love was nailed and left to die, having been whipped and tortured and mocked and abandoned. It didn't seem to match. The hymn was written, this isn't a me criticising the old rugged cross, please, we're leading somewhere with it, but the hymn was written by somebody called George Bennard, and he was an evangelist in the Methodist Church. And the story goes that he wrote the hymn after being totally ridiculed at an evangelistic event. He was preaching the gospel and people were criticising and were jeering. And his response was to come away and write this hymn. He said, I will cherish the cross. I'm going to cling to it. Whatever comes, whatever happens, I will cling to the cross and all that it means in the face of opposition and insult. I like that history behind this hymn. But it's a particular line in the hymn that I want to draw your attention to. And that's what we're going to be thinking about for the rest of our time together today. The line that I was drawn to in the hymn was in the chorus. And it talks about the cross as a place of exchange. And that's what I want us to think about today. The cross as the place of exchange. I will cling to the old rugged cross and exchange it someday for a crown. I think the hymn writer here is touching on a really important aspect of what happened on the cross and what our experience and engagement with the cross can be. The cross is a place of exchange. One of the more modern hymn writers puts it somewhat, you know, I think succinctly when this lady writes this: at the foot of the cross where grace and suffering meet, you have shown me your love through the judgment you received, and you've won my heart. Yes, you've won my heart. And the chorus goes, now I can trade these ashes for beauty. Yeah? I can trade these ashes for beauty and wear forgiveness like a crown. Coming to kiss the feet of mercy, I lay every burden down at the foot of the cross. At the foot of the cross, where I am made complete, you have given me life through the death you bore for me. And you've won my heart. Yes, you've won my heart. Trade these ashes in for beauty and wear forgiveness like a crown. Coming to kiss the feet of mercy, I lay every burden down. I'm laying every burden down. The cross is the place of exchange. Now, I'm going to use an example now that I'm debating within myself whether I should use or not. So bear with me. All right, next screen. Does anybody remember? Swap shop. Can anyone name the people? Yeah. Maggie Philbin, of course. Swap shop. So who remembers Swap Shop? Hands up. There's a few that don't. The idea was, with Swap Shop, was that people try and swap stuff they don't want or need anymore, stuff that's cluttering up their lives, and they try and swap it for something they need. I know this is a crude illustration. It is a crude illustration. And I know, and I don't want to at all diminish the significance of what we're talking about today. It's just a way of unpacking this particular aspect of the cross. But the cross is like this cosmic swap shop, a place where exchange happens. Just think about the readings. Think about the songs that we have sung and will sing. They emphasize this. Luke 23, Jesus' blameless life in place of ours. Luke 9, give up your life and gain life in all its fullness with Christ. Matthew 11, give up your burdens and receive a yoke, a load, a burden that is gentle and easy. Isaiah 61, beauty for ashes, mourning for joy, despair for praise. Some writers have coined this particular phrase. Can we have that next slide? The divine exchange. The divine exchange. Jesus was punished that we might be forgiven. Jesus was wounded that we might be healed. Jesus was made sin, and with our sinfulness, that we might be made righteous with his righteousness. Jesus died our death that we might share his life. Jesus was made a curse that we might receive the blessing. The cross is a place of divine exchange. There's more that we could say. We could be here many, many hours thinking about this. These are just a few of the things that are there for us to take hold of in the cross. I want to do a little exercise now to explain and explore this a little further and hopefully help us to engage with it a little more, because I don't believe it's just automatic. I believe that we have to be willing to take hold of what he is offering. So, Luke, you're going to help me today. We're going to think about this whole area of divine exchange, okay? Now, sometimes in life we get kind of our lives and our arms get full. Nathan, you might need to stand by and help me in another. You sit there, Luke, okay? Right? I just need someone who's a little bit bigger, okay? Right, Nathan. Sometimes in life we get bogged down and we get weighed down with stuff, okay? So I've got a few things that I want you to be carrying for me. Okay, Some of the things in our lives that get in the way. Here we go, look. What about selfishness? This is what I want. My way. It's about me. Selfishness. Okay, right, okay. Let's think about this. Accusations. Now, this is quite a small box compared to that, because sometimes the little things that people accuse us of and say to us seem very small. But actually, how many of us remember a cruel or unkind word spoken even in our childhood? And how many of us still live with the impact of that at times? Accusations, addictions. It just so happened that I found a bottle of Carver. And to be honest with you, you know, that is something some people struggle with. But you know, actually, there are some much more hidden and less obvious addictions, patterns and ways of thinking, patterns and ways of behaving, patterns of believing things about ourselves that we just find really hard to let go of. You know, things that get hold of our lives. Nathan, you're going to be able to hold this one. Oh, blimey. I'm going to put this one down here because I really don't want you to drop it, because you'll come in on Sunday and the whole place will smell like a brewery. Right, okay, this is a big one. Sin. You know, the stuff we do in our lives that just isn't in keeping with what God's best for us is. His word, his way, his purpose. Oh, Nathan, are you going to be able to carry this? Kneel down. You might need to just kneel down, and because that's really heavy. Got it? I need you to sort of gather it all right, okay. Unforgiveness. I wasn't there last night, but I know Rosie was talking about forgiveness at the Maundy Thursday service. But when we carry unforgiveness, it's a burden. It gets in the way. It holds us back. Nathan, right, okay. Oh, this is the heaviest one. Fear. Nathan, I don't know how you're going to carry this. On his head? Well, let's try. Okay, got it? Hopelessness. Despair. Right, Nathan, I think you can probably just about get that one in. That hand there. Right, I need you to try and... Can you get your hand on sin? Just grab sin. No, don't. That's wrong, isn't it? Oh, no. Right, let me just... Right, can you just grab that? You've got a handle on top there. Let's put that one on there. Okay, just bring them over here, Nathan, will you? No, don't. I want to give you something, Nathan. I want to give you what we've been singing about and talking about and praying about. I want to give you what Christ died so that we can have, what he suffered and died so that we can receive. And I want to give it to Nathan. Nathan, I need you to do better than this with all this stuff. Carry that. Hold that. Don't let go of those accusations. There you go. You hold tight to those addictions. No. I want to give Nathan life in all its fullness, because that is what Christ gives us through his death and resurrection. There you go, Nathan. You're not going to be able to do this, Nathan. All right? Nathan is not going to be able to take hold of life in all its fullness until he lets go of some of this stuff. So, Nathan, and I know, okay, I want to say this. Hold on tight, Nathan. I know that we are explaining in an instant something that in reality can take weeks, months, years to overcome and know freedom. Thanks. You just laden him down. Okay, thank you, Luke. That's really helpful. Right. So how is Nathan going to take hold of life in all its fullness that Christ has made possible for us to take hold of on the cross? Well, he needs to let go of a few things, doesn't he? And he needs to get rid of a few things. So, Luke, would you help me? Would you take accusation away from Nathan and just throw it? Okay, hopelessness, let's get rid of that. Let's lay it down, okay? And what's that big one? Selfishness. Let's get rid of that. Mind his head. Okay, I'll take the addictions. Nathan, I'm helping you here. Okay, right. Let's get rid of that sin from Nathan. Let's pull it away. Get rid of it. Lay it down. Okay, what else have we got? Actually, we could be throwing it down there, couldn't we? You know, we could be, because what does that symbolise? That symbolises about our identification with Christ and his death and his resurrection. That is what we're going to be celebrating on Sunday, yeah? Right, okay, let's get rid of fear. Let's lay it down. Go on then. Whoa, that's a heavy one, isn't it? And finally, let's get rid of that unforgiveness. Thank you, Luke. Nathan, would you come here? And would you all, look, Nathan, I want to give you the most precious and beautiful, wonderful gift that you will ever, ever receive, fullness of life in Christ. Nathan needed empty hands, didn't he? He needed to let go and he needed to lay down so that he could take hold of this life, fullness of life that is ours in Christ. And I want to say to you today, this is on offer. This is on offer. There's always more of this. There might be people here today, for the first time, you've never taken hold of this. You've never taken hold of this. You've never said, yeah, I want to receive the life that Christ makes it possible for me to live, this gift, because of the cross, because of the pain and the anguish of it, because of what he did for me. But for all of us, there's more of this to take hold of today. As we learn to lay that stuff down, to let it go, so we can take hold of more of this life that we have in Christ.